Hello everyone, and welcome to Mushtarif M89.6, the host of this gossip show. And today I feel a little bit nostalgic to talk about history, and specifically about someone really attached to my culture and where I come from. If you're familiar with the Mediterranean history, I bet you would know whom I will be talking about. This figure's name is Muhammad bin Abdelkarim al-Khattabi. This man was a force to be reckoned with. I mean, have you seen pictures of him? He had a beard that could rival Santa Claus. But let's not judge a book by its cover, shall we? Abdelkarim was more than just a fierce-looking guy. He was a leader of the Rif Republic, a short-lived state in the northern Morocco that fought against Spanish and French colonialism in the 1920s. And yeah, he actually knew how to fight, and he won. Legend has it that Abdelkarim once led a charge against the Spanish with just a handful of men and a few rusty rifles. And guess what? They won. Yep, you read that right. They freaking won. Let's just get back before he became a well-known figure in Morocco and the world. Before the Spanish and the French saw Morocco as a source of raw materials, the rich mineral deposits of the Rif Mountains were of particular interest to the Spanish. However, the lack of roads meant that the exploitation of the region was difficult for the Spanish. So, in order to exploit the Rif region, the Spanish established relationships with tribal leaders. Initially, the Spanish and the French were welcomed by many Berber and Arab tribes in Morocco. Due to the false promises and plans of modernizing and improving the economic conditions of the region, however, soon it became clear that the Spanish and French were extremely repressive and brutal. The Spanish began to impose extremely high taxes on the locals and used violence against people who refused to pay. It was not long before the people of Morocco would fight back against the Spanish oppressors. The great resistance to the Spanish invaders came from Abdelkarim al-Khattabi. Yeah, and this guy was the son of an influential Berber tribal leader and was also a chief judge and a journalist. Later on, Abdelkarim criticized the French and the Spanish by writing articles in which he called on the colonial powers to stop applying unfair practices to his people. Abdelkarim also argued that no economic progress was achieved since the arrival of the Spanish and the French. However, the Spanish and the French continued to oppress the people, and it became clear that there could be no diplomatic solution. Therefore, Abdelkarim al-Khattabi began an armed rebellion against the Spanish and the French. And this guy was a charismatic leader and an impressive speaker, and managed to gain widespread support, and he soon began to gather an army, and he managed to unite various tribes, ethnicities, and religious groups in Morocco, including Berbers, Arabs, Muslims, and Jews, in April 1921. 50 tribal and religious leaders pledged alliance to Abdelkarim and declared him the military leader initially, and his army defeated the Spanish in the famous Battle of Anuel in 1921. When he conducted a series of surprise attacks in which 10,000 Spanish soldiers were killed, these victories encouraged more and more men to join Abdelkarim's army, such as Moroccan Jews. Moroccan Jews also contributed to Abdelkarim's cause by helping his army manufacture explosives. This was a process which included taking broken bombs dropped by Spanish planes. Eventually, the Spanish had to give up one post after another, securing even more influence to Abdelkarim. And this guy's forces were so successful against the Spanish that they were able to declare an independent state. Abdelkarim established a state and governing institutions which collected taxes, enforced laws, and organized an army. The Republic of the Rif would last until 1926. And this guy and his army were defeated at the hands of a coalition or an alliance between the French and Spanish armies following the bombing of defenseless populations with toxic chemical weapons, facing such intense and ruthless aggression that murdered hundreds of civilians. He surrendered eventually to the French army in 1926 and was soon after sent to exile in France later on. Abdelkarim was granted a shelter in Cairo, where he later played a critical role in the development of Morocco nationalist agitation by working with Egyptian Arab nationalists in 1948. Later, Abdelkarim founded the Committee for the Liberation of the Arab Maghreb. After the restoration of Morocco independence, King Mohammed V invited him to return to Morocco, which he refused to do as long as French troops remained in North African soil. Mohammed Abdel Karim al-Khattabi became an icon throughout the world for initiating organized resistance against the Spanish and then the French imperial powers during the years between 1921 to 1926. Until then, neither of the two powers had ever encountered a united opponent that was politically as well as militarily astonishingly well organized. Abdel Karim's life and his military achievements can be briefly summarized, we may say, as follows. Abdel Karim's family referred to as Khattabis, and they are descended from the Aitwariyaghls tribe in the Rif, a region of Morocco. The Khattabis ruled for more than 1,000 years, enjoyed a good reputation, and hence were influential throughout the region. Karim's father was a judge, or as it is known in Arabic, it is Qadi, a profession practiced through generations in the family, not least due to its long tradition of specializing in the field of Islamic studies. When the Spanish imperial powers expanded into the Rif, it was under the leadership of Abdel Karim's father. Being from a family with high social status, Abdel Karim and his brother also had the privilege of studying at university level, while Abdel Karim advanced his studies with regard to Islam and the university in Fez, Morocco. Si Mohammed, his brother, became a qualified mining engineer in Spain. Abdel Karim grew up in a relatively war-torn environment, the causes of which ranged from claims to the throne in Morocco to blood feuds between families and tribes. And for this reason, Abdel Karim mentions in his memoirs that he was used to war and to the smell of gunpowder since early childhood. At the University of Qarawiyyin in Fez, Abdel Karim, when he turned 22 years, learned, in addition to his studies of the Quran, musketry and horsemanship. During the process of his postgraduate studies of Islamic and Spanish law to become an Islamic judge, which he accomplished with an excellent qualification in 1912, at the age of 30, he worked for the Department of Native Affairs, wrote articles in Arabic for El Telegrama del Rif, was an interpreter in the Central Office of Indigenous Troops and Affairs, and translated for diverse mining companies. So later on in 1913, as an Islamic judge for the Spanish Central Office, Abdel Karim's work had mainly to do with the organization of the protectorate, such as the legal aspects of the rights and title deeds to the iron deposits of Beni Tuzin, which bordered on his own tribal area. Given their position, both father and son were initially loyal to the Spanish. For this act, the elder Abdel Karim was awarded the Cross of Military Merit and an annual pension of 50 pesetas, while the younger was named Qadi al-Qudat, or Chief Islamic Judge of the Melilan region. Abdel Karim justifies this loyalty with the belief that the Rif would never attain economic progress without foreign involvement, and the hope that the Spanish would help to modernize the Rif, and among several other economic deficiencies, a major hindrance to development was in fact poor infrastructure in the region. Due to its geographical location and surrounding mountain ranges, the region was relatively isolated from the rest of the country. Hence, the Rif was relatively poor compared to the other regions. Kier Horst, an eyewitness of those times, describes the Rif region as follows. 2,000 meter high, gloomy calls and steep mountain chain extends along the North African Mediterranean coast between Melilla and Ceuta. The veil of the unexplored stretches mysteriously over this stage like mountain world. Apparently, a Frenchman has managed to cross the Rif in 1,600 years. Another reason for the loyalty was the idea of using the Spanish as a shield against the French colonial powers, which became particularly important when the Sultan had signed the Act of the Conference of Algeciras on April 1906, which had entitled the French to establish a protectorate over Morocco. However, when the Spanish gradually began to advance into Beni Warial, Abdelkarim and his family began to experience unfair practices inflicted on the locals directly. The French, who had gained control over the heartland of Morocco, were equally not in an amicable relationship with the local population. Zyper reports in this regard that on the next day, our troops' task was to collect taxes from a rebellious, took place under conditions of difficult clashes requiring very high losses, as the tax evaders resisted desperately. Some of the German comrades made here their last breath. This incident clarifies the extent of injustice the Rifs must have felt, especially when the taxes were hardly paid to the Sultan. Further unfair practices followed suit. The Spanish authority here began to cut incomes of the leaders of the tribe, including the father of Abdelkarim, and instead were paying bribes to tribesmen whom they expected to help in their efforts to expand into the central Rif more readily. Abdelkarim here started taking action by criticizing these corrupt practices as well as colonialism as a driver for economic progress, first through his job as a journalist. In 1915, when questioned by his employer, Abdelkarim gave a written declaration stating his opposition against all oppressors of Islam, his support for the Turks, and his plans to establish an independent Rif in the unoccupied territories. Consequently, he was dismissed from all his posts, imprisoned for 11 months, and was even used as hostage against his father. He was eventually released after his father had agreed to continue cooperating with the Spanish. The uneasy relationship finally came to an end in 1918, when the Spanish continued to subjugate more tribes. Dissent among the population was exacerbated by a bad harvest, which was further complicating the already prevalent poor economic conditions. Organized resistance started under the leadership of Karim's father, and the beginning of 1919, monetary fines charged to criminals, which had been abolished by the Spanish, were reintroduced and extended to apply to collaborators as well, inevitably leading to more unity among the tribes. The Rifis felt the reward of unity when they foiled a major attack led by General Silvestri from the sea. Nevertheless, he still managed to enter by using a different route later on. Confronted by the imminent threat of Spanish invasion, Abdelkarim's father started a campaign but died unexpectedly in August 1919. There were speculations that his father's death was due to a poison administered by the Spanish. With his death, the troop disintegrated so that the Spanish could proceed with their plans for invasion without any resistance up until the beginning of 1921. Together with his brother Abdelkarim continued the campaign started by their father to form an inter-tribal alliance against Spain. Being a charismatic leader and an impressive speaker, he recorded more success than his father managed to achieve. For example, in April 1921, he was elected by 50 sheikhs, or leaders, as their military leader. Political as well as religious decisions equally fell within the scope of Abdelkarim's duty, of course, because he is the leader right now. And following the propaganda against the Spanish by the Rifis, penalties imposed upon those who refused to perform military service and decriminalization of the killers of collaborators are only a few examples of the extensive measures Abdelkarim had managed to implement effectively. Soon after his election, Abdelkarim had managed to form a sizable army. Two victories won on a single day, proven that the oath was well deserved. In a surprise attack on June 2nd in 1919, 21 launched on Darobaran. This is the place where the battle took place between the Spanish forces and the Abdelkarim's army. And here, the majority of Spanish troops were killed. Similarly, General Silvestri's troops ended with a defeat in Sidi Driss. These victories encouraged more and more men to join Abdelkarim's troops. However, none of these successes was a triumphant as the one attained in Anwal on July 17th, which lasted for 5 days. There are significant discrepancies concerning the number of troops on both sides. The estimated numbers for the Spanish troops ranged between 25,000 and 30,000. And for the Rifis, 3,000. The Spanish death toll, including General Silvestri, according to one source, is estimated to have been at least 10,000. Other historians set the death toll higher, at up to between 13,000 to 19,000 fatalities, including captives. So this defeat was perceived as an absolute miracle, as Karim's brother called it. And here, when they won, Abdelkarim ordered that Quranic verses to be recited and prayers of thanks performed for the attained and the upcoming victory over the Spanish. And here, the colonial forces in turn dubbed the clash as the disaster of Anwal. The reconquest of the areas lost in the past continued, and the Rif Republic was proclaimed on February 1st, 1923. But 1 year later, specifically in July 1924, the Spanish experienced another crushing defeat in Chauen, where they lost about 10,000 soldiers, as in 1921. This was also a surprise attack where the Spanish had to give up one post after another, facilitating even more influence to Abdelkarim. And in the beginning of 1924, the Rifis began to observe problems initiated now by the French colonial powers. The Warga Valley, one of the most fertile regions of the Rif, was an important source of supply for agricultural produce to Rifians, and it began to be of interest to the French too. Under the excuse of rearrangement of plot boundaries, the French began to build blockhouses and military posts around the valley. Food was already short due to contaminated soil. Between 1924 and 1926, the Spanish had resorted to using poisonous chemical warfare agent S-Lost Yeperit, which is a kind of mustard chemical, on a large scale by the aerochemical method for the first time in history. So this kind of weapons that they used in the region was globally or internationally prohibited, but still they managed to use them in the north of Morocco. The Warga Valley was largely spared from the contamination. Under pressure from his people to take action, Abdelkarim decided to attack the French. With this decision, as he later admitted, he made the greatest strategic mistake of his military career. He hadn't foreseen that the two competing imperial powers would eventually unite their manpower and resources against him. Initially, the French, as the Spanish had earlier, were recording significant losses. Out of desperation and the fear of losing even Fès, the French general Liuti saw no other solution than a joint operation with the Spanish to defeat the Rifis. Now the Spanish with 200,000 and the French with 160,000 men supported with the latest war technology were confronting the Rifis troops, consisting of about, let's say, 60,000 to 80,000 men. The number of dead and missing French soldiers between April 1925 and May 1926 was 2,162. The territories lost were gradually reconquered, and on May 26, 1926, Abdelkarim was forced to surrender to the French forces. Together with his family, he was exiled to the French island La Réunion. However, in 1947, on his way to France, he managed to escape and lived henceforth in Cairo until his death in 1963. It is an undisputed fact that the military techniques and tactics applied by the Rifians during the clashes caused great surprise but also admiration, not only among the opponent soldiers but also among high-rank officers in the context of Elmer's campaign on June 24, 1923, in which the French forces had 200 casualties. A French captain of royal descent saw them come in front of his left front. He took professional pleasure in the skill with which they alternated between mounted movements. Furthermore, in order to get through understandings of the diaries of the operations, remnants of the battles, including ruins of buildings such as forts, trenches, or hills, never ceased to be subject to scrutiny by military experts since the end of the Rif War. And there are some scholarly studies on Abdelkarim as well, and the Rif War frequently characterize Abdelkarim as a co-inventor of modern war tactics or strategies. Some of the tactics and methods that are mentioned in the literature with great amazement are as follows. The use of trenches, for example, that happened, on May 3rd in 1925. General combat was unable to break through the Berber trenches. Despite 6 hours of fighting, caves dug in the slopes, extensive use of granite, ramparts, rocks, boulder-strewn summits in the hills as concealment, cover from which to target the enemy, the use of smokeless powder rifles that made it impossible to locate its user, hiding cannons in caves and using these exclusively at night, which made their discovery impossible. And this is what made these tactics known worldwide, because there is another research that the war tactics of the Rifis were emulated during other rebellions, such as the Druze War of Syria with France, the Algerian War of Independence with France, and the Vietnam War with the United States. 20th century anti-colonial revolutionary leaders such as the Vietnamese leaders Ho Chi Minh, the Yugoslav leader Tito and Che Guevara are specifically mentioned as being influenced by the tactics of Abdelkarim. In this regard, Seymour says, a great Muslim anti-imperialist fighter whose successful tactics would inspire Ho Chi Minh and Che Guevara. It has also been alleged that Abdelkarim had become an established key figure in the field of political military advice for revolutionary leaders during his time in exile in Egypt, such as lots of revolutionary leaders of the world always paid him a visit when they came to Egypt. However, Abdelkarim's influence on Che Guevara is either referred to in passing or briefly mentioned in footnotes in a couple of authentic sources, such as in the biography of Fidel Castro and Sebastian Balfour's Deadly Embrace. During a personal communication, Balfour said in this regard, Che Guevara would have learnt about Abdelkarim more, the Spanish Republican veteran of the Moroccan colonial campaign, Alberto Bayo. So the writers of the Rif War anonymously agree that the contentious spirit of the Rifians, not least triggered by the idea of jihad and martyrdom, was one of the main determinants of their success. And another factor that gave the Rifians a competitive edge was their ability to cope with the demands of the war life. The Rifi warriors were used to the difficulties associated with living in the Atlas Mountains, had a good knowledge of the topology of the Rif, and were extraordinarily acclimatized to both the excessive heat as well as the cold rainy reasons. The cold rainy seasons. For this reason, Abdelkarim himself once made the supercilious statement that one Rifian would beat any 10 Frenchmen. And during the battles and ambush attacks, the Rifis are also known to have used mountains, cliffs and bushes in an astonishing way for their own advantage, of course. And Che Guevara, having realized the advantages of the Moroccan terrain, is said to have greeted Abdelkarim with the words, by flying flying over reef by air, I looked out from the window. The region is an ideal zone for combat. And apart from these factors, few other war tactics are still mentioned in the literature as having been typical for the Riffians. These fall into three different categories of defense techniques, namely siege war, attack on armored cars, and bayonet versus knife fighting, and etc. And here is a fun fact about Rif War, is that there were lots of productions which cannot be possibly assumed to have escaped Che Guevara's attention, but the Rif Rebellion in itself, facilitating plot elements such as a desert setting for romance films, or as one of the world's most dangerous battlefields in the heart of the burning Sahara to which the main characters are exposed, never ceased to be used in a range of films made in France, Spain, as well as in Hollywood, starting from 1921 until 1998, and ignoring Spanish as well as French productions, more than 20 Hollywood movies can be identified. These are in chronological order as follows. The Sheik in 1921. These are artistic productions influenced by the Rif War. Another one, which is The Son of the Sheik. The Desert Song. Drums of the Desert. Road to Morocco. Outpost in Morocco. Ten Tall Men, Sergeant Clem's, The Wind and the Lion, March or Die, and many other productions. And it is said as well that the Desert Song was fully adapted into film first in 1929 and then remade four more times. Its hero, the Red Shadow, is said to have been inspired by Abdel Karim. The Mysterious Red Show is an amalgamation of Rodolphe Valentino, Lawrence of Arabia, and Abdel Karim, who helps the oppressed Moroccans, the Rif's rise against their French colonial rulers. Romberg's masked hero with a red cape who defends the Rifis against tyrannical Westerners using psychological mockery to confuse his opponents in turn was probably at least some of the inspiration also for Superman, one of America's most popular cartoon figures. The continual media coverage on the Rif War is certainly associated with the impact of the amazement with which the world had followed the relative success of the Rifis against the technologically far better equipped imperial powers. It should therefore come as no surprise that a man like Abdel Karim, whose failure and capture was covered in newspapers under praiseworthy and eulogistic headings such as "Like Prometheus Chained to a Rock," had become a contact point for revolutionaries which cannot be assumed to have been missed by Che Guevara. Still, there is another perhaps more profound link between Abdel Karim and Che Guevara, and it is known for certain that two persons closely associated with great admiration for the Rifi warriors. One was Che Guevara's close comrade Fidel Castro. In his own autobiography, Castro says, later in the 20s, Franco took part in a colonial war in Morocco in which the army had massive casualties. There was one battle at Anwal in which Spain lost 3,000 men. I've read the whole history of that war. And here we've come to an end. I must say that it's not fair to speak about this man who contributed to the Morocco's independence in only one episode, but I hope that we covered the key points of his life entirely. We will be coming back to you with more interesting topics, so stay tuned and have a great day. Bye-bye.